News, sports, weather from Dr. Bill Williams, traffic info from Kane, and one of the Gulf Coast's most familiar voices. It's Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Arwig.
Morning from Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5, 807 on Mobile Mornings. And good to have you along, kind of hazy this morning. Dr. Bill says pretty good chance of a rain this afternoon.
Yeah, and that'll kind of be the start of this system's effect on our area. And tomorrow, we're definitely going to be getting some rain.
Yep.
Now, how close it gets to us will determine how much, breaking news, how close that system gets to us will determine how much rain we get. But he said even if it stays pretty far off coast, we might get around 2 inches, but you could probably expect to get more than that over the next couple days. It does sound like some good news for Saturday and Sunday.
Yeah, to me, it sounded almost like a normal weekend.
Mm-hmm.
So we have this rain system that has come across the state of Florida and into the Gulf of Mexico. And so it's going to have an effect here for the next couple of days. And then, like Dalton said, depending on how close it wants to hug the coastline. But Saturday and Sunday are just a chance of showers in the afternoon, but hot. And that's the one thing now. It is going to be extremely hot for the rodeo this weekend.
Yeah, it will be. Also, we have plenty of texts, and we'll get to those here, 251-343-0106. But I wanted to start because this has been something we've been discussing the last week, maybe week and a half, with the kind of Orange Beach scandal, if you want to call it that. You had Lanyap that posted a story not that long ago, and it was referencing an eyewitness report and police report from last Labor Day, where an employee at a bar and grill down there.
Yeah, right. And it happened to be positioned right across from a government office.
Yeah, and they claimed that they saw the mayor, Tony Kennan, outside of the Coastal Resources Building, and that he was allegedly striking a woman, and that he was nude and dragged her inside, and then the police showed up, didn't make physical contact with anyone inside of that office, but heard through the door, according to body cam footage, a man say, "This is Mayor Tony Kennan." Then they checked back a few days later, kind of a welfare check on a Miss Kennan, and the mayor, Kennan, who has an opponent in this upcoming municipal election, Jeff Boyd, has been basically saying this story is bunk. It's all political posturing. And, you know, we talked with Rob Holbert with Lanyap, who had his name on that story. And we talked about it with him last week. And I encourage you, well, we'll talk to him tomorrow again, but I encourage you to go back and listen to that for his take on the whole thing. But you can read the story at lanyapmobile.com. I know gulfcoastmedia.com as well had a write-up on it earlier this week where they got a response from Mayor Kennan, who I believe called the story vile and hateful. And so he responded with his own words on his own Facebook page yesterday alongside his daughter, who was helping get him on the air there on Facebook. And I'll just play that. I think we need to play every side, especially when you're dealing with these kinds of allegations.
Sure. Yeah,
no. And I know many of you on the text line have your opinion on everything. And we're seeing it through the morning, too, on the text line. We'll get to a lot of that. Here is where Mayor Kennan starts talking yesterday in his Tuesdays with Tony live stream about this story and these allegations.
A commercial about the personal attacks. No one ever attacks me for my record or my performance or accomplishments or the future. They always make it a personal character assassination attempt. And, you know, my opponent has no platform except assassination, character assassination. And that begs the question, why? And why are these attacks becoming so vile and so numerous? What group is it that wants me out of office so badly that they're willing to do this? Or what group wants my opponent in office so badly that they're willing to do this? I think that's a question that is legitimate to ask. They've crossed the line now. They've drugged my extended family into this. They've drugged city employees. They've drugged the city and other individuals that have absolutely nothing to do with this election, just kind, good-hearted people, but yet they're being disparaged, and I don't understand that. What I'm praying for is that the people of Orange Beach will see this and will say enough's enough. this is not how we treat each other in our community, at least the community I think we have. And on August 26th, they're going to send a strong message, a shot heard around the world, that this is not what we do. And I'm not going to fall into their trap. I'm not going to take their bait. From this point forward, I'm going to ignore all their negativity, all their attacks. I'm not going to waste my energy on trying to defend something that's completely untrue. And there's nothing out there in the context in which they put it. There's nothing out there true. I'm telling you right now, it is all orchestrated. It's all a coordinated attempt to get me out of office for whatever reason. But from here on out, I'm going to be positive, and I'm going to talk about my record, run on my record, and what I've done in the past. So, but there will be one exception to that. I will deal with the Land Yap and their accusations probably next week. Today's article caught me off guard, so I will deal with them, and we'll take care of that. But other than that, we're going to try to stay positive. And what these folks don't understand, it doesn't only embarrass us, it embarrasses our city, because these accusations are not just intrinsic to our city. These accusations and this type of nonsense goes all over the Southeast and up the I-65 corridor. It's a true embarrassment. And I can promise you, I've done nothing whatsoever to ever embarrass this city. Never done anything that would be considered illegal or unethical, ever. So, having said that, I guess I'd like to go to something more positive.
There you go. That's the response from Mayor Tony Kennan. From his own words, from his own Facebook page yesterday, and would love your thoughts, 251-343-0106.
So I've got the story he was referencing, the latest from Land Yap. Mm-hmm. May I just read a couple of paragraphs from that? So the story that he referenced, the latest from Land Yap, a follow-up to the initial one, this is Rob Holbert writing this, and it's the woman who called Orange Beach police just before 1 a.m. last Labor Day to report a brutal attack by a naked man on a woman on the second floor of the city's Coastal Resources building, says she could pick Mayor Kennan out of a lineup as the perpetrator. And she gives her name as well, so it's not an anonymous situation. Tierra Morrill told Land Yap earlier this week that she had a clear enough view of what was happening on the well-lighted building to be sure it was Kennan who was naked and violently assaulting a woman. She says on the night she made the call, she did not make the connection that it might be the mayor, but now is certain that it was Kennan. I can definitely pick him out of a lineup for sure. I know for a fact it was him, she said. Morrill's call in the early hours of September 2nd led officers to attempt to make contact with the man and woman inside the office, one of what Kennan has taken as a second office, less than 3 miles from his main office in City Hall. City councilors have told Land Yap that they were aware of Kennan's use of the office, although they could not say what he does there, and have denied ever being there with him. Coastal Resources Director Philip West also verified that the mayor uses that office on the building's south side closest to Johnson Cove, and I think that restaurant was on the other side of the cove, right? Mm-hmm. The other side of the water. So anyway, the follow-up is that the woman making those allegations swears that she sticks with her story.
But also, let's keep in mind that no one's pressed charges. You know, the Miss Kennan in question here, police made contact with, even though it may have come a couple days later, but hasn't pressed charges, hasn't publicly said that anything was happening. And when it comes down to it, you're still, I mean, we're talking about an eyewitness who's doubled down, like you said, but you also have a police force, and you can argue, like some are, that, well, they're just doing his bidding. Well, there's still law enforcement, and they still haven't, you know, they didn't arrest anybody. And it's a story that I think when you're given that kind of information, and especially kind of the questions that come out of, okay, what's this office there for? Does anyone know about this office? That brings questions. But the juicy headline here is naked man beats wife, mm-hmm. right? But the wife hasn't acknowledged it. He's saying it's untrue. Law enforcement didn't press charges. And it did come, you know, a month out, barely, a month plus out from the election.
The election, yeah.
And Lagniappe, I mean, you have to report when you get a story like this. And I know that the mayor isn't happy with this coming out. To me, I mean, I can talk about this for as much time as you want, but I don't live in Orange Beach. I don't vote in Orange Beach. I visit, and I love visiting, but it's up to the voters. It's like Kenan said, the voters, and this isn't his first time under the spotlight. You know, he's dealt with some controversies since he's been in office, and they keep voting him in. Yeah. So it's up to the voters, like you said. But I know plenty of people have a lot of opinions on this. Like, let's see, I'm going to get to this because we have a lot of pothole talk also. A lot of pothole talk on the text line.
Well, we asked for it. Now we got it.
This texter said, Kenan / Lagniappe, purely political. Timing says it all. Tim says, I'm pretty sure Tony has a problem and talks about a fight at a bar. Let's see here. I'm skipping around trying to get some of these texts. With everybody getting drugged, I'm going to Orange Beach. That's John. I'm not sure exactly what that's referencing to.
No.
Roy in Spanish Fort, and this is a political phrase used often when you're trying to, and I forget the exact word for this kind of debate tactic, but when did you stop beating your wife? You're assuming that someone did something and you're putting them on the spot. When did you stop beating your wife? Well, I never beat my wife.
Yeah.
Why are you assuming that I beat
right,
my wife?
Right, right.
Roy's saying that's kind of a similar thing to hear, a similar thing to this. Let's see. Vince says, I wonder what I'll deal with Lagniappe means. It's a good question, and that's what I was wondering too. It could just be that he's going to come out guns blazing and try to light up the Lagniappe staff, which they're not. It's nothing new to Rob and the team there because they've gone after, you know, much bigger players in the state with some embarrassing things than just a local mayor. Let's see. Josh says, if you want to walk around naked with your wife and you have money, get a privacy fence. If on the second story, then get a bigger fence. Most do not like PDA or hitting females. And I completely agree. If you have a mayor who's hitting a woman, that's obviously a major problem. But again, it's kind of all hearsay, right? Because you have an eyewitness, but you had police show up, and you don't have anyone saying that he hit them.
No, you don't have proof.
Right.
You don't have proof. And so if I was in a position like this, regardless whether it happened or not, I was just embarrassed by it. I guess I would just say you don't have the proof, which is that kind of what Kenan is saying? Is he forcefully saying it did not happen? I did not do that. I was not at the office that night. He can't say that because he was at the office that night. So he can't deny being there. He can deny the incident because it's he said, she said, right?
Right.
So, how forcefully is he denying it? He would like to move on from it. So would I if, you know, I was in that position.
Yeah.
He'd like to get reelected, okay? This has just got such small-town intrigue to it. And Tony Kennett has been somebody, like you say, it's rarely been policies or politics that have brought him the headlines or the gossip around town. It's been his personal life that he seems to have he can have a temper in public, things like that.
But he's also, and we can't deny, he's built some political enemies because he's very outspoken on that front too. And anytime you're as outspoken as he is about, you know, even federal political matters, you're going to end up with at least 20-30% of the people really disliking you just purely for your political views. And if they get a little, you know, sugar on top with some personal allegations, it's only fuel to the fire. James says guilty until proven innocent. And it is, even I say that, like, you know, I do it all the time. You kind of fall into that trap of, well, this person seems like a bad person, and I'm going to assume that this definitely happened. And you have to resist that as much as possible. But it does make for some juicy gossip,
and
right?
So here's a number or numbers I'd like. Somebody has access to them. But we know that Kennett has won the mayor's race time and time again. I'd like to know, you know, what's by what margin has he rolled to victory?
Yeah, I'll look that
each
up.
Time.
I don't think he's had much of an issue.
Yeah, yeah. Probably not. And so, like, is he that popular in the city where he's had, again, things leveled against him about his personal character or behavior in public? I've heard all those rumors, but he keeps getting elected. So by what margin? How popular is he?
Yeah, I'll try to find those numbers during the break. We'll also get to some more text on the other side. 251-343-0106.
Well, we should just tag every traffic report with that.
Well, they fixed that one.
Oh, it's fixed.
That one's fixed. Or at least the specific one they're talking about on Knollwood. I think there's probably some others.
That was bad, though, wasn't it?
I guess. You know, I drive Knollwood all the time, and that NBC 15 story that, like, four people hit the pothole and pulled over at this one right after the other. I've lived up and down Knollwood for years, and I've somehow managed to mostly avoid the potholes just by driving around them, but it is a big problem around.
Big problem in New Orleans. If you get in, like, off Magazine Street and some of the areas of uptown New Orleans, it's like, man, hello, can someone help out? I mean, the value of your car goes down if you live in New Orleans after a while. It's just getting all beat up and all. As far as the Tony Kinnon story on the text line, Matt says, I will believe it didn't happen when his wife comes out and publicly says it did not happen.
Okay. And that's valid, I'd say. But also, she hasn't come out and said that it did happen.
Right.
So we kind of keep everything in context. You were asking, you know, how popular is he? So he was unopposed in 2016 and 2012. Back in 08, that first win, he got, looks like, around 61% of the vote compared to 39% for his closest opponent, Larry Alexander, if this is correct. And then in 2020, which was the last election, he picked up about 66% of the vote compared to Dan Hayes, 33% of the vote. So he wins, and he wins by a big margin. And I know a lot of people outside of the city are commenting on this because it is a juicy story. But really, that's what it comes down to, right?
The city, yeah.
Unless criminal charges or something are charged or levied, then he's still running for mayor. And I think he's done a great job as mayor, but I know a lot of people disagree, and a lot of people disagree with his politics or disagree with just kind of the way he presents himself.
What do you think?
There's no way around that.
I mean, that city has grown almost. I mean, I'm not taking anything away from him, but I mean, he's not the mayor of Whistler. I mean, Orange Beach is a beautiful area, and I'm sure that they've done their best to grow that city well. What do you think he's done best?
Well, I think it's, you know, look at how many, and I know a lot of locals don't like all of the population growth, but generally cities consider that a major win. And just big money keeps coming in. You get this Margaritaville Resort coming in across from the wharf. Got the whole bridge thing going on down there. There's a lot to like about Orange Beach.
I agree. Unopposed. He's been unopposed two out of the three times. So is that popular or is that feared?
Good question.
8:30, Dan and Dalton, FM Talk, 106.5.
FM Talk, 106.5 in Mobile Mornings. Texts are popping, 251-343-0106. We'll get back to those here before the end of the show. But right now it's time to head over to McConnell Automotive, where we talk with Louis Arata. Hey, Louis.
Hey, good morning, guys. How are you?
Hey, we're good. And some great, well, it's going to be hot, but we'll get a good stretch here today without a whole lot of rain before that system kind of moves in a little bit later. And while folks have the time, they need to get out to the lot at McConnell Automotive and see what you have in store.
That's right. Get out here or check everything out online at McConnellAutomotive.com. I mean, we have a great selection of GM certifieds and just about any car you want. I mean, from Toyota Priuses to Lexus ES350s to AT4 Yukons, AT4 trucks, AT4 3/4-ton trucks, 15-passenger vans. Like I said, we got them all across the board. New cars, we've got plenty of the new body style Acadias, which they are fine. I don't know if you've seen those yet, mm-hmm. but they are good looking. And got the first 26 model truck coming in. So, I mean, we got all the stuff working, and we're going to be here. Like I said, it looks like rain's going to hold off today, hopefully, and we'll have a good day.
Yeah. And we've been talking a lot about potholes this morning, too, and folks whose vehicles have been damaged out there on the roadways. Your body shop there at McConnell Automotive can take care of something like that quick and easy.
That's right. We have potholes here. We were talking about them here, actually. But, yeah, the McConnell Collision Center back there, Rachel and all the guys and girls back there will take care of all your insurance needs if you have that unfortunate accident. And you get that phone call where it's total, like I said, McConnellAutomotive.com. We got a great selection of vehicles on our website, mm-hmm. and it's a pretty easy website. So just check it out and then give us a call or come see us.
All right. Thank you, Louie.
Hey, thank y'all.
Louie Arata, find him at McConnell Automotive on Dauphin Street, just east of I-65, and that website is McConnellAutomotive.com.
Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5 at 8:37. Going to slide away from some of the political talk here just for a moment to give a plug to an organization that I'm on the board of, and that's Junior Achievement. So the president of Junior Achievement Alabama is Chip Reed, good friend of mine. Chip, how are you this morning?
Doing good, Dan. How are you this morning?
Doing good. I love the – when people ask me about Junior Achievement, one thing I can say about it, probably the best thing I can say about it, is that I know it works, and I know that the numbers back that up. Explain what Junior Achievement is, how they integrate the schools, and it looks like we have more and more demand in Mobile to get into the schools, and the work that we do, and then the success that we have with students.
Well, yes, Dan, the demand for programs is up. I think that our education partners are looking for help in helping students understand the importance of their educational journey. And that's really what Junior Achievement's all about. We make connections between the classroom and the real world. And we do that with real world business folks who go into classrooms to volunteer to teach JA programs that teachers have requested. So we're really about career-connected, real-world-connected, engaging, learning, activities, discussions that pop, and they stick with the kids so that they can feel an impact, they can talk to a real business person, ask real questions, engage with real learning that bridges that gap so these kids can get a different perspective on the world, benefit from the content of the curriculum, but also from the real-world experiences of those mentors. So it's about helping kids understand the importance of their educational journey, link their earning potential to their educational choices, and to start to see the world is filled with opportunity mm-hmm. rather than just some scary thing out there.
And that has to be a win-win for those professionals that you have come in and speak to the youth because, well, I mean, first off, they have to feel great about being able to go and tell their story and how there is this opportunity out there if you make it happen. But also, I think a lot of these folks realize that if they don't kind of pass that torch, then things can kind of, you know, go awry quickly. You need people to come up and be a good force for the economy.
Yeah, force is the word, workforce, right? Mm-hmm. So you're building a workforce by giving these young people the tool. And we say young people, we start as early as grade school. I see a lot of the impact that we seem to notice, Chip, is at the high school level, and of course the curriculum changes when you consider what group you're in front of. But these high school kids, they're on the verge of, you know, this new world. Some going to college, maybe some not. But this stuff is getting, talk about the information they're getting almost, you would say, in the nick of time.
Well, you're right. Everything is age appropriate, and we do start in grade school. So with kindergartners, you're talking to them about basic concepts of earning and saving money. You know, what is money, and how do we even know what a job is? And it's, you know, just really important, very concept, basic concepts. And if you think, well, gosh, what can you teach kids in kindergarten about business and economics? The answer is, have you ever seen a six-year-old kid with a dollar in their hand at Walmart? They know how to spend money early, so we better start talking to them about how you earn, save, and appropriately spend money as early as kindergarten. But to your point, Dan, age appropriate all the way through elementary, middle, and then into high school. You reference high school students. You know, you've been supportive of us and seen the business plan challenge, for example. That's one of our high school programs. You know, we're working with juniors and seniors, and they're learning how to write business plans to reflect the business ideas they come up with. And whether they ultimately ever go start their own business or not, it's not even the point. When you teach entrepreneurship to high school students, that's really a workforce development skill. Because entrepreneurship is really a problem-solving technique. You identify a problem in the world. You come up with a solution to do something better or come up with a new idea. You create a plan to implement that. And then you do the analysis on its effectiveness. And again, whether you ever start a business or not, what company doesn't want to hire a young person who has a problem solver's mentality,
right,
and can follow a process, think critically, and to apply their thinking in a very linear, systemic fashion? That's a workforce development skill that I quite frankly think all young people should be learning entrepreneurship. Just because of that, it is a workforce development skill. So there's one specific example, but Junior Achievement's been teaching work readiness, business and entrepreneurship, and financial literacy for decades. And you're right, there in Mobile, our numbers are up. We served nearly 6,000 kids last year, and I bet we could serve 16 if we had the resources.
Yeah, I think you're right. Resources is the thing. Now, we've got a fundraiser coming up, and that's going to help with our resources. And it's a really fun couple of evenings, and one on the Eastern Shore side of the bay, one here in Mobile. Explain what that's all about.
Yeah, we are a nonprofit, Dan. We don't get a lot of government funding. That's just not really our business model. We are funded by the business community and individuals and foundations. And so we have what we call a peer-to-peer fundraising event coming up. It's our bowling classic. And you're right, we've got a night coming up on the Eastern Shore on Wednesday, August 6th, and then on Friday and Saturday there on the Mobile side of the bay at Bolero out there on Schillinger on Friday night at 5 o'clock and on Saturday afternoon, 1 o'clock. You could go to mobile.ja.org and learn more about the details and sign up if you're interested. But it's a great family fun kind of a thing. We encourage folks, obviously, to raise money for Junior Achievement. We've got all sorts of tools to help people do that and make it super easy for everybody. But at the bowling center, we just have a great time. You bowl a couple of games. You have a good time. We do trivia. We do door prizes. We do silly things. You and I pulled off a little joke back and forth one year, if I'm not mistaken, that I thought went pretty well. And I don't know how you felt about that.
It was fun.
I thought it was a lot of fun. Our bowling attendees just have a good time.
They do.
It's a great way to spend time for a good cause, having a good time, raising money for a mission that, quite frankly, just makes sense. Every child deserves a chance to be successful in life, and we want to make sure they have the skills, the knowledge, and the perspective to take advantage of opportunities in life.
And so the thing is, too, it's a great thing for, like, an office or a business.
Yeah.
You know your happy hour night out is a night of bowling. Just a couple of hours. Great time.
And you tell me, you know, I know when it's about to be time, because Dan shows up in this sweet bowling shirt. He's buttoned down with the flames, and he's ready to roll. But it's a good time, right? And
it's a lot of fun.
As you've already pointed out, it's all for a really good cause.
Well, it is, and it is great for businesses and you know, team building in a business environment. You know, the days of the company picnic are kind of gone. So instead of doing the old company picnic mindset, why don't you get your employees together for a great team building activity so they get to know each other, spend some good time away from the office together, building, you know, teamwork and bonds while supporting a great cause. And you guys mentioned it earlier. You know, this is an investment by the workforce in tomorrow's workforce. You know, these young people are the ones we're going to have to hire soon, and we're going to need to do business with these young people. So we're really investing in the economic future of the Mobile area when we support kids' business education. And this is just a great, fun way to help make that happen.
It really is. Junior Achievement of Alabama, that's the website you want to go to, and you can find out more about the our bowling classic. It's going to be fun. It's in August, so you've got time to sign up and just get your office involved. It's a great time. Chip, thanks a bunch for your time this morning, and I'll see you soon.
Appreciate you guys. Thanks so much, Dan Dalton. Appreciate you guys.
Chip Reed, President, Junior Achievement of Alabama.
Yeah, that's cool. Are you good at bowling?
I wouldn't say I'm good. I don't even know why I'm delaying answering that question. Right. I mean, that's total BS right there.
Do we have any aces out there on the anyone out there who's really good at bowling?
Yeah, I'm like the guy that spins it and makes it curve and all. That's not me.
No. I just, you know, that one viral video, and I'm not good. I'm no good at bowling. I rarely do it, but I have a great time when I do. But anytime I get a strike, I do that. Who do you think you are? I am. I don't know if you've seen that video.
I have.
The guy won the, I don't know, I guess the Bowling World Championship.
Yeah.
But always a good time. Now, what gets dangerous, kids' parties at the bowling arena. Not like the even elementary into junior high into high school, but we had a bowling party that we went to.
Little ones?
With the little bitties, yeah, where we had three-year-olds rolling it down there, which is fine if you just have a couple of them.
Yeah.
But when like half of the entire, you know, alley
all the lanes
are all 3 and 4 years old, things get dangerous. And and they don't have enough oomph sometimes to get the ball all the way down, even with the bumpers.
The guards, yeah.
So there was a stretch where I had to kind of, you know, walk. And
walk the ball down?
No, I had to go down and get a ball from the end and kind of shoo it on in.
Ah, I got it.
That was a precarious moment as well. You don't want to be on a video where you're sliding around on that.
You know, you want to have a good time, get with your people you know and go bowling, and we're kind of doing it. We're setting it all up for you. So thanks to Eastern Shore Lanes and also Bolarama. Is that what they're called? Bolarama, I believe.
Bolero.
Bolero. They're at West Mobile.
We'll talk with Jeff here in just a minute. I guess I need to put my take in on this whole Epstein thing. We talked about it quite a bit once that ridiculous Bondi announcement came out not that long. I guess it was the Sunday after July 4th, right, is when that first came out, and we've all been talking about it ever since. I really don't understand the way that he's going about this. I don't get it. And, you know, yesterday he was asked about it again.
He's being very flippant about it, whereas people are actually, concerned about it, or they're curious about what's in the, you know, legitimately curious about what's in this file, because this guy was doing a lot of things that weren't very, very nice or good at all. And who was involved?
And Trump's superpower, I think his main superpower, is feeling the energy and direction that not just his base, but, you know, he's populist.
Yeah.
I don't even know if he would argue that. He probably would. He knows what people want, generally.
Yeah.
So for him to push back this hard on something that is, frankly, a loser issue for him right now, it's affecting his numbers.
He's almost calling anybody that is curious about all this, like, we're the losers. Like, come on, get past this.
Yeah, and so I don't know what direction he's going on this. It doesn't make a lot of sense to me. And I know many people are quick to say, well, he's in it. That's why. I still don't think that's necessarily the case. But, you know, yesterday he brought up, and it wasn't the first time, but more officially said that it was fabricated by, you know, some of his biggest political opponents. He specifically mentioned Obama and Biden and Comey. He said Attorney General Bondi gave only a brief update to the administration, and that it's her call whether quote-unquote credible parts of the file should be released. Of course, she's just getting crushed over this as well because of the whole binders thing, and I have the list on the desk. Another thing I think people are taking out of context, saying the Epstein list, I've never been talking about just a specific list of name. It's kind of a generalization of we need to know not just who was friendly with Epstein, because if that's the case, you're basically wiping out the entire upper class, right?
Yeah.
But
half of Manhattan.
Who were committing these vile crimes? And if it was a intelligence operation, was it our intelligence operation? Was it another country's intelligence operation?
Yeah.
So these are all unanswered questions. And they're saying this Epstein list, like, well, we don't have a list. Well, yeah, we didn't.
I think
plenty of lists out there.
Have you heard the pushback that, well, I didn't say the list. I said the case. The case was on my desk, not the list. I've heard that explanation in all of this.
Now, I wonder, though, and this might sound a little, you know, kooky, and it is, but it's just a thought. That maybe, is it possible that, and we saw this, and we'll get into it more with this case on Comey and Brennan once it gets a little further along on the Russia collusion hoax, but Biden had office for 4 years. You have a lot of people in there that don't like Trump. Is it possible maybe evidence was fabricated, or certainly I'd say evidence has been changed or gotten rid of over the years, but maybe there's some more tomfoolery going on than we even know about. And if they were to just drop, you know, whatever they have isn't necessarily the actual case. I don't know. Like I said,
so
kind of a crazy thought, but.
Well, what's the crazy thought exactly? That under the Biden administration, they had a hold of this thing for long enough where they could have modified it or.
Yeah. Yeah. And I don't think that's outside of the scope, right? It's not something you wouldn't expect some of the folks in the Biden administration to pull off. But that's one of the only ways I think this wouldn't make any sense, the way they're reacting to this whole thing.
So then Trump got into office, looked it over, was like, oh, this is a lot more incriminating than what I thought it would look like for me or people that I know.
Maybe. Yeah. Maybe. I mean, we know nothing. Yeah. All we know is they've gone about this a terrible way.
And look, if it's this intelligence, all part of this intelligence operation, maybe there's things that simply are not supposed to be out there right now.
Mm.
I mean, the Kennedy shooting was 50 but some years ago, right? This was a lot more recent. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Yeah. Guess we'll have to wait and wait and wait and maybe never see. Maybe we'll see. I don't know.
Jeff Poor, we'll talk with him on the way next. Morning from Dan and Dalton. FM Talk 106.5. Mobile Mornings, 8:56 on your Wednesday.
It is Wednesday, and Jeff Poor on the line with us. And Jeff, good morning.
Morning, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Of course. Show today, looks like you have another great list of guests that are coming on with you.
Yeah, we'll start off with Andrew Sorrell. He's got a pledge about negative campaigning. We'll get into that and some other things. Joey Clark from News Talk 93.1 in Montgomery, our Wednesday regular, and I'm a fan favorite here, I guess. Parker Griffith, the official Democrat response of the Jeff Poor Show.
Yeah. Reagan's rules, right? What Sorrell's asking for, I guess, basically out of Caroline Dobson. Is that a race we particularly see the mudslinging in? I guess he's expecting it, huh?
Well, and my guess is he's going to be out fundraised and wants to kind of hit it off at the pass, right?
Hmm.
And make sure. I don't know what to make of it. The timing's very, very peculiar, but we'll let him have his say.
He does stuff. He's a maverick. All right. So Senate fundraising. What do we see at this point?
Well, so we got some numbers yesterday. The big number came from Steve Marshall, a little more than $400,000, which it was okay for him. I mean, it's a U.S. Senate race. There's going to be lots of money. Pumped into this thing. Not everybody's going to be quite the juggernaut that Tommy Tuberville is with this gubernatorial race. On down, though, who I thought had a good number was Jared Hudson with a little more than $200,000.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. And then if you're watching it, Barry Moore hasn't announced yet, but he can still raise money for his house fund. Raised about $123,000, which seems a little on the low side to be flirting with. Well, it was low among like all House members, actually, but a little on the low side if he's flirting with a Senate race.
Yeah, and I mean, you're going to need money if you're running a statewide, right? That's a pretty big part of this, especially if you're from the South.
Yeah, and you know, it's I tell you though, these Senate races. These numbers altogether, Dalton, are kind of low.
Hmm.
And I'm not sure, you know, maybe it's going to pick up. But if there's another candidate that gets in that can raise money, or we're saying put like a, you know, get $1 million out of the gate, which is
doable.
Doable, yeah. Yeah. I mean, I'm not going to say it's easy.
Right.
But if you, even if you could loan yourself, I think it's a different ball game.
I guess
Jeff,
so.
Thanks for talking with us, Jeff. We're going to run to a hard break right here.
Yeah, we'll go to the break. More Mobile Mornings tomorrow morning at 6. Thanks for listening.